This is a bit surreal. I remember at about age 15, my mother dashing into our front door of our house as I was standing in the foyer, and she said, You'll never believe it. I've just been to this charismatic convention and some significant person or other prophesied that one of her sons would be a pastor one day. And I just went, I hope that's my brother. Anyway, 40 years later, which is a curious amount of time, starting to get some sense that maybe it's not such a bad idea. Just a couple of apologies in advance. One for chewing gum. I don't chew gum to look cool. I chew gum because it helps me with my nerves and also keeps my mouth from drying up. So I just wanted to mention that every 10 years or so. Hope. Hope was a key message. God gave me this about a month ago. And what I wanted to do today was four things. Firstly and primarily, I really wanted you to consider and to share, what do you hope for the future of this church? What is it that you would love to see happen or happening in this church, through this church, at this church? And or what do you sense God hopes for this church? My plan is, as I presented to the board, is to gather a leadership team, of which the existing leaders and some others, to really seek and discern God's will and priorities for our future, particularly for this year. And so, as I've said, I'm not looking to make it a Brad-flavoured churchtopia. I want it to be something that God speaks through our leaders and through our people. So today, I'd really love to get your input into what do you actually hope for this church for Overflow. So even if you're visiting here, what would you hope in whatever church that you were part of, that you would see, that you experience, that would be happening, could be physically, what does the place look like, what could enhance it, what activities, what would you do relationally, ministry, what do we do in the community? Is that okay? So I just want to pause just for 30 seconds or so and just to allow God to begin to speak to you about what he hopes, you hope. So Father, we just pray that you'll give us your spirit to help discern and to identify the things that you're putting on the hearts of our people for the future of this church. Whether that be simple or big, practical, relational, activity-based, community-based, Lord, what is that would be make us excited about the future of church? What do you want us to be hoping for? After that, I just want to share, and I've got a time clock here. So once this hour clock runs out, I'll stop talking, okay? No, it's actually only a 5-minute clock, so I just want to make sure I keep the time. I want to just spend 5 minutes and 16 seconds extra just explaining my role, just explaining in one picture what the team leader's role is, and also it also includes what your role is. So I want to do that. And then I want to share some of my hopes, what some of the things that God's put on my heart for the future of the church. And lastly, and probably most importantly, I just want to remind us through God's word of what God hopes for our church, what he's excited about, what is his intentions for us. Does that sound okay? All right. So, Nikki, if I could just get some to hand out, there's a little card. I just really appreciate if you can just write something, even if, all good, mate, keep going. Or if you want to write an essay, use both sides of the card, get extra cards, whatever you need to do. But just give us a clue as to what you hope for the future of this church. So if you could just discuss it with one or two people nearby you, and then I'll let you be rude while I'm speaking afterwards, and you can write out just some thoughts as they come, and then at the end of the message, we'll collect them or leave them on your seats. So if you can just start talking to someone nearby you, just what do you hope for? What would help make this church even more brilliant or more effective or more enjoyable? Okay, I'll just give you a few minutes to do that. Thanks. Thanks for doing that, and continue to do that. Feel free to continue to write as I share. But I'm really think it'll be super helpful for our leaders just to kind of know the heart of the church and to kind of hear the echoes of what God desires for our church and what's going to be helpful for us into the future. So appreciate you giving that thoughtful consideration. Just wanted to share what the team leader role kind of looks like, and I guess the parts that you get to play in it as well. Maybe, Justin, if I could get you to be timekeeper for me. So I'll try and keep this to 5 minutes, so just yell out when that runs out. This is a one-page diagram that Chris and I put together quite a while ago that helps just put a picture of what does the life of church look like on one page. And so if I can just quickly explain this. So our church mission is to see life transformed through Jesus. And we want to see people come thirsty, drink deeply, be transformed and live brilliantly. And so the exciting stuff is what happens in the middle here. This is Jesus's work. This is where people meet Jesus, find out about Jesus, encounter Jesus, are saved by Jesus, are transformed by Jesus, and then get to serve Jesus. And people will generally come into connection with Jesus through other people, through the church. And as my batteries appropriately run out, there we go. People will connect with other people. So they'll either be connected with people in the church in community, and generally in an age base, kids will meet other kids, youth will meet other youth, or young adults will meet other young adults or adults, or families will meet families and come into connection with the church community kind of through age-based relationships. Or if they come into connection with the church, they will only really stay if there are age-based relationships. So we really know how significant it is to have intergenerational connection and activities appropriate so that anybody from our community can find a place and belong in church. And then as people are encountering Jesus, transformed, find their calling, develop their gifts, they get the chance of either serving back into the church and or serving into the community and showing God's love and grace to other people who will hopefully further come through. And does that make sense? That kind of process of connecting with God, being transformed and helping other people connect with God and be transformed. The other aspects of church are down the bottom here. And these things are really some of the key activities of church that help underpin and support the activities of seeing life transformed through Jesus. So we obviously have regular church events on a Sunday and other special events where this can happen. So we want to be intentional about creating services and events where people can encounter God, be transformed, connect with Him, realize their identity, develop their giftings. We also want to have that interaction with community through intentional church-organized community ministries and activities. So we really want to be intentional about connecting with our wider community. As a church, we also understand how significant the fivefold gifts are to the church, and I'll talk about this one a little bit later on. But we really want to steward all five aspects of the fivefold giftings of apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists, and to identify them, to release them, and for them to all have an influence across all the activities of church. And I love having the elders and governance here, because church is not a top-down organization, it's bottom-up. We're built on Jesus is ultimately the rock and should have Jesus down the bottom here. But the elders and governors don't lord over the church. They're there to support the leaders and the ministry teams of the church to help the church be church. And a very, very important aspect of church is things don't just happen. And so having organisation, stewarding our resources, our physical resources, our financial resources, our human resources, and making sure people know what they need to know when they need to know is vitally important for life, for us to see life transformed through Jesus. So the team leader role is to lead a team or teams of people that make all this happen. So there's quite a bit in there because we want to really develop and grow the capacity of every aspect of church, and we want to engage and release people with their unique giftings and callings to play their part as well. But I just find, and I know it might be a little bit confusing first time you see this, but it just helps me to kind of get a grasp on, okay, what's the main deal? And the main deal is seeing life transformed through Jesus, and it happens through other people. And people are developed and called and assisted through leaders. And so that's why this role is appropriately titled team leader. Because I don't have to do everything, but I need to make sure that everything happens. So I just wanted to share some of the hopes that I have for our church. And I don't want to claim that these aren't unique or original. They're not radically new or different to other hopes of Chris or our church leaders in the past or who are around now. But I just want to just share some of the things that God's put on my heart in recent weeks and this past year or two. And these aren't things that I'm kind of going, this is going to be our strategic plan. These are just some of my hopes for the church. All right, so I've got 10 of them. So if you can give me two flips for 10 minutes. There's about a sermon in each of these, as you'll see. So I'm just going to spend 1 minute on average on each and hopefully get through these in 10 minutes. The first one is I really hope that we can embrace the wrestles in life. I hope that we can see the benefits of the problems and difficulties that will inevitably come our way as we do life as a church. May God mature us and teach us through problems, not to avoid problems, but to lean into problems, to see problems as a gift from Him that allows us to experience more of Him, allows us to mature in Him. And may that, you know, whether that be, maybe we'll be able to work through problems really well, individually or as a church. Maybe we have those crucial conversations when we need to have them. Maybe we be willing to forgive when we need to forgive. Maybe we be seeking provision in prayer when we need provision. May we seek God when we're not sure what we need to do. But just not to go, oh, why is this happening? More, thank you, God. Here's an opportunity for us to experience those promises of Romans 8:28, that He does use everything to help us experience His goodness. Secondly, I hope God can help us to live in continuous surrender to Him. God just knows how to do life better than we do. And there's just that invitation of Jesus to die to ourselves and to live for Him. And that's an intentional choice, individually and collectively. May we surrender our thoughts and our plans, activities of our day, trusting that we will only do what God's will is. And by doing that, we will live the best life possible. Because we do live in a midst of a battle in our society, in our flesh, where there's the enemy of God who wants to distract us and make us focus on ourselves or up things, anything other than God. But I just really hope that we can continually to surrender to God, to do all the things that He wants us to, knowing that He gives us the resources and the time and the empowerment to do everything. I hope we can have healthy expectations of each other. Expectations are such an important aspect of life. All frustrations, all anger, all disappointment come from unmet expectations. And I don't want to give you expectations that I can't live up to, and I don't want you to have expectations that everything you want to happen is going to happen. I mean, we have 100 people in the room. if each of us was to be able to design a Sunday morning gathering, we'd probably do it 100 different ways, but we can only do it one way each Sunday. And so it's just being able to, that surrender and having clear expectations, but not in a passive, oh, well, I've got no voice, I've got no... So we want to bring the best out of all of our opportunities and situations, but we really want to be able to communicate clearly, and where there is potential frustration, just to make that known, to have those conversations, to be upfront and honest, but to really clarify our expectations rather than talk about it to other people or just think about it ourselves and be frustrated in it. Let's let each other know. I also hope that people really can come as they are. I love that slogan, and I love the experience I had when I first came to here, that people dress so differently. It was just alarming for me, having kind of had these kind of unwritten dress codes in churches that we've been part of, and seeing people on stage in thongs or Ugg boots or no shoes at all, or singlets and check shirts and ties and suits. And it was just so alarmingly refreshing, just that people, just even dress could come as they are. But may that be the case for wherever people are at. And it's particularly for people who haven't quite had the transformation bit done. You know, may they come as they are and not be judged. May they not be frowned or looked up and down, or, you know, the language, maybe not be offended by people. And I also love on the platform just the different personalities and people that get to share messages and service leading and words of encouragement and testimony. I just love all the different ways that people can communicate in their own self. And so we just really want to have, really hope that we can continue to have that come as you are attitude without judgment, with acceptance and embracing everyone and anyone that God puts in the path of Overflow Church. I also hope that we can build bridges in our community, and we all get to play a part in that, in personal relationships, in bridges with other churches, with other community organisations, with schools. I just really excited at the prospect of seeing our church develop bridges so that people can take steps, maybe not directly into Jesus's realm, but through other people can find a pathway there. And yeah, it really starts with a relational connection, and it starts with us being willing and able to go out and make connections in the community, to make people aware of who we are, who the church is, and we're part of a much wider kingdom than just Overflow. So even if the bridges can lead people to other churches and other Christians, God, are we really happy with that, I reckon. I really hope we can confront people with the loving grace of God. As Cliff Smith used to beautifully say, grace really is scandalous. It is the thing that differentiates the way of Jesus from all other religions and ideologies and philosophies. Grace is the atmosphere of the kingdom, and it is the way that we can bring heaven to earth on a daily basis through grace. And the beautiful thing about grace is you can't show it to someone who deserves it. You can only show grace to people that don't deserve it. So looking at those opportunities, those people that have disappoint you or frustrate you or who are different to you, they're the best targets for God's grace. And it's just the thing. It's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. And we just really want to obediently live out of that ridiculous grace-filled life that we've experienced and share it with others. Amen. And I hope we can raise and steward our fivefold giftings to equip the saints for the work of ministry. It's God's architecture. He's given this range of giftings, and each one of us will have usually one or two of the apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And when they're all able to influence life in the church and our lives, the promises are that it will help see the whole body fit perfectly together, and so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. I really hope that we can be people who live naturally supernatural lives. And again, looking at difficulties and impossibility and sickness and people problem and complaining as opportunities for people to experience the miraculous love of God in their lives, in their circumstances. And not to do miraculous work for the sake of doing tricks or to impress people or to show how special we are, but to use them to powerfully show them how much God loves them, how much God is willing to go out of his way, out of the natural, to intervene in their life and show them how much he cares about them. I'd love to see us as Jesus followers fully awake, hungry and staying on fire. And I think that revival, God's been speaking to me, is about Christians being drowsy and sleepy and not awake to the reality of the Spirit and what he's doing in and around our lives every day. And just that we may be awake to what God is wanting us to be aware of and the opportunities of living life his way. So let us be a wide awake. Let us live in his presence and aware of his presence, where his loving, purifying fire can refine us and empower us to live the best life possible. To enjoy a lifestyle of prayer, a couple of bonus ones. Enjoy a lifestyle of prayer. Prayer isn't something that we get to do to keep God happy. It's a gift that God gives us to see all of this happen. It's a significant way we get to experience God himself and how we get to deepen our relationship with God. And prayer not only changes the circumstances around us, it changes us in the process. So there's some of the things I'm hoping for. More importantly, what does God hope for our church? I've just invited three people, Lorraine and Donna and Helen, if you could come forward. I just got three passages. There could have been a whole lot more. But I just want to remind us of the hope that God has for our church. And we, you know, we've been talking probably more about hope, the things that we're not sure about, that we kind of want to happen, would ideally like to see happen. But when God talks about hope, it's an absolute certainty. And another potentially signature verse for our church, I pray that the God of hope will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him, then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, who's got Ephesians chapter 4?
So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong and hold tight to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honouring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honourable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone.
Wouldn't we love to see that? Donna.
What God hopes for us, his church. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who's the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love.
One last one. Thanks, Helen. This shorter one from Jesus' own words just before he went to the cross.
Okay. I pray that they will be all one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. I have revealed you to them and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them and I will be in them.
Amen. And the beautiful thing in this, the last passage that I have for you today from, again, from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the beauty is God not only wants it to happen, he's going to help us to make it a reality. I pray from this glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, just how wide and long and high and deep is his love. May you experience the love of Christ for yourself, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And finishing with that beautiful promise, now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or even think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thanks, friends.